Come in and take a breath. Come in and ask your questions of life. Come in and be with your community, people you know and people you've never met. You are welcome here in all your complexities and contradictions. Come in to this church. I'm Reverend Bob LaValle, and I'm delighted to be joined today by our Director of Religious Education, Mia Noren, and our worship leader, Casey Spivey. Reverend Angela and Susan Beck are both taking well-deserved vacations. Our DJ today is Chris Paul, and our tech team is Michaela Renz-Whitmore, Cy Schuster, and Bill Miller. And thank you so much for all the great things you do to make this happen. Today's a special day. It's a special treat to welcome back into our virtual pulpit, the Reverend Christine Robinson. So for those of you who are new, Christine was the senior minister of this church from 1988 to 2017, a very long ministry to a congregation that changed and grew a lot over those years. And she's remained in Albuquerque with her husband, William, who works at the Albuquerque Journal. And they're active in the congregation now. They help out with the puppets. Christine is often an usher at our services. In fact, she'll be teaching a class on, or is in the process of teaching a class on the Tao Te Ching for us. So in retirement, she gardens and knits and cooks and does some ministry coaching and some guest preaching via Zoom. And we're so glad to have you, Christine. So delighted. And one more thing. We value inclusion and accessibility at First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque. And perhaps you've noticed already that we now have subtitles. So the closed captions, they aren't perfect, but they're pretty good. And you can turn them on or off for yourself by clicking on the little caret next to closed captions in your Zoom toolbar. You click on the little caret and you can choose either hide subtitles or show subtitles. Isn't that great? I'm so thrilled. Now let's hear our announcements.
Good morning to all. Three announcements. Our dreams for the future are made real and possible with your generous pledges. The pledge drive ends the first week of November. Please submit your pledge as soon as you can. There's a link to the pledge form in the chat box, or contact the church office if you prefer a paper pledge card. First Unitarian's annual Halloween costume parade will be virtual this year on October 25th during the 11 o'clock worship service. Send us a photo or video of yourself, your family, or even your pets in a costume to Mia Noren at the link in the chat bar by October 22nd. That's Thursday of this week, October 22nd. And last, the next open mic is coming up on October 25th. Please let Susan Peck know if you plan to participate. Save the Zoom site and or the information to your calendar, and feel free to share this information with your talented friends and supportive audience folks. The link for October 25th, again, is in the chat bar. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lynn Patton, and I'm a UU living in recovery. For me, that means I haven't used alcohol or abused drugs for 39 years. I also haven't used refined sugar for the last 3.5 years. I'm a member of this congregation, and last year I worked closely with Jane Davis, our ministerial intern, to develop the addiction recovery ministry. Currently, the ministry consists of 6 people, all of us working a recovery program. Addictions start by using a substance or a behavior in order to cope. A common theme for people who struggle with addictions is that at some point we have an experience with alcohol, drugs, food, gambling, or some other behavior that causes us to feel like we really fit in, like we can cope with life and with anything that life hands us. It's a euphoric experience. We feel great, and we really want to feel great again. Substance use eventually becomes the way we deal with life. Unfortunately, the more we use that substance or that behavior to handle life and to feel good, the more problems it tends to cause. It becomes a vicious cycle. These problems usually include feeling badly about ourselves because our behaviors are out of control. They might also include family, relationship, work, school, or legal problems, and they often begin to affect our health. Despite the problems that we might be having, it's terrifying to look at giving up that addictive behavior. We just don't know how we're going to cope with life without it. People can start feeling really desperate. This is where the Addiction Recovery Ministry can come in. If you think you or a loved one might be suffering from an addiction, we can help by providing referrals to assessment, treatment, counseling, or support groups. Most people with addictions have a sense of deep shame that comes from not managing their behavior the way they wish they could. This leads to secrecy and a profound sense of being alone. The Addiction Ministry people will listen non-judgmentally as we help you find the ongoing support that you might need. Please call one of the ministers or the office, and they can put you in touch with us. The care group, the care ministry group, can also help you find us if needed. Life is certainly more difficult in this time of pandemic, and it's a lot more difficult if you or a loved one are struggling with an addiction. Please reach out. There is no need to suffer alone. If you have questions about the addiction ministry in general, or would like to chat with us, there will be a special breakout group after the service. Watch for how you can get in touch with us today towards the end of the worship service. Thanks.
Thank you, Lynn, for all you do for this congregation. For our chalice lighting today, we bring the words of Reverend Scott Taylor. What is it about this flame that opens our ears, opens our hearts? Come back to your center, it calls. Return to that quiet space we long for and that longs for us. From this stillness, always a voice arises if we let it. So come, friends, let us listen once again. Let us find that flame inside us that guides us home. Come, let us worship together.
Good morning. Please join me in singing the opening hymn this morning, I Walk the Unfrequented Road. It's number 53 in the Gray Hymnal, but you'll find the lyrics in the chat box.
I walk the unfrequented road with open eye and ear. I watch a field, the farmer load, the bounty of the year. I filch the fruit of no one's toil, no trespasser.
Well, as Mia said, our theme this morning is listening to ourselves. And we're going to take a meditation time to give one form of this exercise a try. You're welcome to do this meditation all in your mind. But if you have something handy to write with, a piece of paper and a pencil, or if you know how to listen to Zoom while using your computer, you can do this as a mini journaling exercise. We begin by listening to ourselves, by quieting the outside distractions and noticing if our body is comfortable. We notice our breath in, out, and feel the cool air flowing over the little hairs in our nostrils, sending their signal to the brain to be calm. So I invite you to spend a minute making a little list in your mind or on paper or on your screen, a list of things that are worrying you right now. It's a list, not an essay, so just a word or a phrase for each thing. Be a good listener to yourself. Don't argue or judge. Every guest is important and worth noticing. Give yourself little encouraging sounds or nods if you get stuck. Are you ready? Go ahead. Keep on writing if you need to, but if you're done, ask yourself if there are any of these worries that you can do something about. Put a check mark next to three of them, let's say. You can come back later and make a plan of action. But for the rest, I want you to imagine putting them to bed, not in your bed, but in a guest bed or a nest of blankets on the floor. Like the tired children that they are, so you can go about your day while they sleep safely. Just do that in your mind's eye. And now a second list of guests in your mind's house. This one, a list of your welcome guests, joys, loves, gratitudes, hopes. Once again, be a good, attentive, non-judgmental listener to yourself. Encourage yourself gently to keep on this task for 1 minute. You can keep writing if you need to, but you can also begin to install these welcome guests in your imagination, in your real home. Put some on the mantle, maybe, some on the bookshelves or the countertops. Perch some on top of your photographs. Line your computer screen. Later, some of them may have something to say to you. Later, you can make a plan to deal with the worries that you can nudge in a new direction. Later, some of the worries that are now asleep may awaken and you can listen to their dreams like the loving parent you are. All of these are the songs of your heart. Listen to them. And now it's time to move on.
We come to our time of sharing joys and concerns. Whatever this week has unfolded for you, any family or friends, and the world, holding these moments together gives us an opportunity to support one another along our journeys of care. Please use the chat bar for this sharing. If you are not able to write in a chat bar, please contact the church office or send an email to caring@uuabq.org. Again, caring@uuabq.org. Let us know what's on your heart. First, now, share your joys, followed by concerns as prompted on your screen.
See the moon roll across the stars. See the seasons turn like a heart. Your parents' days are lost to you. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is now, your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above the crowd. We could shake this world if you would only show us how. Your life is now. Your children to tell the truth. Would you take the high road if you could choose? Do you believe you're a victim of a great compromise? 'Cause I believe you could change your mind and change our lives. Your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above the crowd. 'Cause we could shake this world if you would only show us how. Your life is. Thank you. Would you teach your children to tell the truth? This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is now, your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above the crowd, 'cause we could shake this world if you
We share our joys and concerns with this gathered community. We journey together, sharing our celebrations and supporting each other with the burdens that we carry. Today, we see so many joys, joys for sunlight and the blue skies of fall, joys of voting and exercising our democratic rights. Go for it, everybody. Joys for being with family, gathering with friends, and joy at the healing and recovery that people are experiencing. And we see many concerns too. We see the heartbreak of plans being made and then falling apart. We see these horrifying COVID numbers and our hospitals filling up, and the fires in Colorado and elsewhere in the country, and this election and the drought. We're all carrying a lot right now. So we lift up these joys and concerns, and we also lift up the joys and concerns held in our hearts, unspoken, but no less deeply felt. We lift these all up to the powers of celebration and healing and renewal that are known by many names. We pray with sadness as we remember Sally Jacobson, who passed this week. May her family and loved ones know the support of this congregation, and may light perpetual shine upon Sally. We pray for the residents of Brookdale Senior Living as they endure a lockdown of their community. May they remain healthy and safe. And we pray for Judy Gehring as she recovers from her surgery. May she know that the thoughts of this congregation are with her. We celebrate Elisa Cooper de Arrive, who was selected as New Mexico's 2020 Teacher of the Year. We give thanks for the many gifts that she brings both to her students and to this congregation. And we lift up Disability Month happening now. May we know that disabilities come in many forms, some not visible to the eye. And may that encourage us to travel with compassion. May all those living with disability find comfort. And may we all be held in the heart of love. Peace be with you.
I will never forget you, I will never forget you.
Our reading this morning is a poem called The Guest House by the 13th century Muslim poet Rumi. It reminds us to listen to ourselves. The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door, laughing, and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
Well, friends, it's great to be here in this virtual pulpit this morning. When I retired 3 years ago, some of you asked if I would sometimes preach here again, and I said, well, I don't know, we'll see. My gosh, there were an awful lot of things we didn't know then, weren't there? And we would have never guessed this, but I'm delighted to be back. I've been preaching quite a bit online during this pandemic. The switch to online worship makes those of us who live far away from the population centers of our faith accessible, and I've been learning the ropes of writing for and speaking to a virtual congregation. Oh my gosh, what a learning curve. But it's helped me feel closer to my younger colleagues who've had to learn and fast. 1,000 things that they never learned in seminary. And our technical folks have had to scramble too. So shout out to our tech crew and our staff and our ministers. Wow, what an accomplishment this is. And because your ministers won't say this, I will. Once the learning curve is under control, the hardest part about speaking on Zoom is that you don't get much feedback. Not even the small moves and expressions and little sounds that a live congregation makes. You have no idea how attuned your ministers are to those little sounds and movements, and they don't come through on Zoom. And we don't get the greetings and the comments after service or the smiles at coffee hour. So if you feel like being generous to your ministers, do put comments in the chat or send them through the email. Tell them you heard them. Listening, you know, is a loop. I speak, you hear, you let me know by word or body language, or in this case, by email, what you heard. Well, I hope you know this wonderful feeling of being heard by a good listener. When someone listens, not just to our words, but to our heart's song, that good listening makes us feel so cherished, and we often feel so warmly towards that listener, right? Do you remember those good feelings? Well, that's good, because you have a chance to feel those feelings all over again, cherished, wise, valued, by turning our listening minds and ears inward into ourselves and giving ourselves the gift of listening to ourselves. Yes, you can give yourself the same careful attention that you sometimes give others, because your heart has a song that you could hear if you worked at it. And you're a person who most needs to hear it and to never forget it and never forsake it. We do listen to ourselves when a good listener is listening to us, but mostly, of course, when we listen to ourselves, our ears are not involved and no sound waves are excited. Listen is just the best verb we can come up with for that quiet attention we pay to ourselves. In spite of the lack of sound waves, though, this inner listening has a lot in common with more ordinary listening. When we listen to ourselves, one part of us is listening to another part, or the whole of us is listening with an open heart to the parts who have different opinions and worries and feelings, say about a decision that has to be made or a confusing thing that's just happened. When we pay attention to those various parts of ourselves, we seek to give ourselves that same gift that we give others when we listen to them: validation, love, self-understanding, and a motivation to be the best we can be. Just as in listening to someone else, the gift of listening is probably not going to happen unless we want it to happen and make the space for it to happen. So listening to yourself doesn't usually involve the ears, but it does involve three of the same things that you need to listen well to someone else. It takes intention, a decision to make the time to sit down and to listen rather than, say, debate or ignore or steal the conversation back to what you want to talk about. This is hard work, and to do it, we need to value the person or the inner voice that it's speaking. And I promise you, all of your inner voices are valuable. Your life will be better if you listen to them. And listening to ourselves takes attention, and attention is best given in relative quiet when we're not doing something else, or at least not something else that captures our attention. So I can listen to myself when I'm walking, but probably not when I'm listening to music or a podcast. I can listen to myself when I'm loading the dishwasher, if I focus, but not if I'm trying to find out why there is so much water on the kitchen floor. I can listen to myself when I'm knitting a simple pattern, but not when I'm learning a new stitch. The third thing that listening to ourselves takes is compassion, which is the ability to feel with the part of ourselves that's come forth. While many of us have a fairly good balance of loving ourselves and loving others, most of us are actually not very good at loving all of ourselves. I am, for instance, very open to others who are, say, binge watching TV or binge eating ice cream to deal with all the stresses of the moment. But the parts of me that are binge playing computer games or who ate all the Halloween candy before October 15th? More impatience than understanding, I'm afraid. But that impatience, that critical mind, won't help the scared or angry part of me that's binging to soothe herself. Impatience will just make her clam up and keep on with her dysfunctional behavior. What she needs is for me to listen to her part of my heart's song. This is the genius of Rumi's advice to practice hospitality to all the guests who come to our mental house, even the sorrows, the shame, the malice. Be a good host. Listen. See what you will find. That your angry guest is really at heart an afraid guest. That, like all of us, that guest will feel better if they can just tell someone else about it. That the shame child who's digging herself into the corner of the couch needs just a little compassionate attention before she will tell you what she knows. That your depression wants you to stop listening to the news and get outside. That your body craves sleep and wants you to know that you really should turn off those screens in time to get a good night's rest. Perhaps you're thinking that this is just what we did in the meditation this morning, and you're right. We took some time to listen to ourselves. Because without that time and intention, we stay a stranger to our inner life, even some of our feelings, words, and deeds. We don't hear our heart's song, and we miss opportunities to nudge our lives into better places. Some months ago in this pandemic wilderness we've all been wandering in, I heard the news that choral singing was a super spreading activity, and it would be many months, perhaps years, before choirs were singing together again safely. For some reason, that's when despair over all the changes COVID had brought knocked at my door. I Googled this unwelcome information, trying to find some way to dodge it. No luck with that, but I did find the first YouTube videos of virtual choirs, and I cried all the way through the still short playlist. As I sat with this unwelcome guest, a thought drifted into my mind. "Christine," it said, "you're not in a choir. You've not been in a choir for nearly 40 years. What is this all about?" Well, of course, it was about all the losses and changes and uncertainties and worries we've faced and will keep on facing. But by the end of listening to myself on this subject, my inner voice said again, "You know, the church choir will surely give this virtual choir thing a try. This obviously means a lot to you. You should join the choir." So I did. Turned out that that unwelcome guest brought a housewarming gift, but I did have to take the time to listen. So how do you listen to your own song? Actually, there are many time-honored ways. One of the most effective ways to hear your own inner wisdom is to speak it aloud to a good listener, a friend, a listening companion, a therapist, counselor, or a group that's dedicated to good listening, like our covenant groups. With a little encouragement and space and safety, our inner voices are mostly eager to speak. And what we learn when we experience that wonderful feeling of having a good listener is how to be a good listener to ourselves. Journaling is another good way to listen. Not so much the journaling that chronicles the day's activities, but the kind that writes about our feelings and the meaning of our experiences, or the kind that writes down our nightly dreams and contemplates their wisdom. This, by the way, was the spiritual practice of choice of our transcendentalist ancestors, Emerson and Thoreau and Margaret Fuller and their mostly Unitarian followers who are our spiritual ancestors. If you've ever felt restive about learning meditation from the Buddhists or prayer from the Christians and wished we UUs had a spiritual tradition of our very own, well, we do, journaling. Through its various techniques, its practitioners can listen to their many inner voices and strong inner wisdom. You can Google that for more information. And while the most popular forms of meditation encourage us to ignore our thoughts and just let them drift by, there are forms of meditation which ask us to watch our thoughts and delve into them. That is to say, to listen to our inner voices. Although empty our mind styles of meditation are very good and valuable, the listen to yourself styles also fill an important space. For one thing, as anybody who's tried the former knows, the mind thinks by nature and will do so at every opportunity. But you can use the mind's power to focus on your inner world in a productive way. That's also meditation. And you can listen to yourself by hearing yourself talk to yourself too. I know we all feel self-conscious about that, but I actually find it very helpful. If you don't have an empty house, you can take a walk at dawn or dusk. And if you wear a mask, nobody will ever know. If you put an earbud in your ear, even without a mask, they'll just think that you're talking on your phone. On paper or aloud or in your mind, ask yourself about what you're feeling. Drill down on why you think what you think. Wonder just what was going on when you did or said something that you now regret. Ask your wise child or loving parent a question and listen to the answer. List your joys and worries and cherish them, deal with them, or put them to bed. Give yourself some space to listen to yourself with the same intention and attention and compassion that you would give to someone else. Celebrate the song of your heart. Honor the guests that come into your mental house. You are amazing, complex, deep, and wise. So, will you listen to yourself?
One in six people struggle with food insecurity in New Mexico. This means that approximately 324,000 New Mexicans, including one in four children, are struggling with hunger every day. All offerings designated for our Change for the Future program today will go to the Roadrunner Food Bank, a partner to First Unitarian's Food Pantry, which hands out dozens of bags of groceries each week. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box or by sending a check to the church office. We will now take up these offerings for the work of the church and the work of this church in the community.
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of First Church of Albuquerque, and thank you on behalf of the Roadrunner Food Bank. We're coming towards the end of our service now, and we'll be having breakout rooms that you can stay and linger in and talk to your fellow congregants. Maybe you need to meet some new people. And one discussion question you might want to think about is, when are the times for you that you most have attention, quiet, and patience? When are the times for you, and I'll put this in the chat bar, that you most have attention, quiet, and patience? Seems like a rich conversation. We'll extinguish our chalices using the words of Reverend Leslie Takahashi. Walk the maze within your heart. Guide your steps into its questioning curves. This labyrinth is a puzzle leading you deeper and deeper into your own truths. Listen in the twists and turns. Listen in the openness within all the searching. Listen. A wisdom within you calls to a wisdom beyond you, and in that dialogue lies peace. Go in peace, gentle people, and practice radical love.
Onto dry.